Bibles, if you would, please, and join with me to in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. Again, want to welcome you. We're glad you're here. I know that some people have their Bibles on their electronic devices, and that's fine. Would you please do us a favor, though, silence those so that if you get a phone call, that it'll go to voicemail and you can take care of it after church if you'd help us with that, or unless you have to go out, we understand that, but if you'd help us, we would appreciate that so much. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word, the preciousness of your word. And Lord, we thank you for those who've come today. And I pray, Lord, you put a special blessing upon them today. Lord, may in these days of difficulty and struggles, may this be the time where we do not look out to the world, but we look unto you, Lord, for the answers. I pray if there's one here today without Christ, that they might meet Jesus as their personal Savior. I pray for believers, Lord, who maybe they've been through a lot, maybe they're struggling right now with some things in their life. I pray that you would lift them up, give them strength, give them guidance, give them, Lord, what only you can. Lord, we know that our church is limited with what we can do, but Lord, it's unlimited what you can do. And so I pray, Lord, you just guide and direct now in these moments we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated.
Street addicted to sin, but the selling themselves to survive, not understanding the hope they could find in a place where God's love is alive. They doubt that they could meet the standards necessary, and fear that they'd find judgment rather than a sanctuary. This must be a place. Our hands still hold.
Thank you for that song. That's a picture of what the church ought to be. Well, at this time, we're going to do something a little different today. Now, it's okay to have fun in church, right?
Amen.
So we're going to have a little bit of fun today. We're getting ready for this service, and Pastor is going to preach a message in a little bit about managing church life. And we're sitting there thinking about, what's a church member supposed to do? You know, you sit in church, and you hear us give announcements, and you hear us announce different things that we're doing. And we wonder sometimes what's going through your minds as we're giving the announcements. So today we're going to get a glimpse into a church member's mind as the announcements are being given. So we have two actors here playing a husband and wife sitting in church reacting to these announcements. So let's see what you folks are thinking. I think we've got maybe an idea. Maybe you can identify with some of these thoughts here. So the first announcement here for the service. Now be sure everyone to be a part of a connection class on Sunday mornings at 9:45. We have classes for all ages.
9:45? I can barely make it at 11 o'clock.
Don't I get enough church already? Do I get paid overtime for this?
And don't miss our connection groups on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock.
But American Idol is on Wednesday nights.
I guess I'll go. I don't want to have to explain to the kids why we aren't going.
And don't forget to come back tonight for the evening service at 5 o'clock.
Whoa, Nellie, I have to come back here again? 3 times is way too much.
It took me 2 hours to look this good for church. And these heels are killing me. I am not doing this again.
And everybody needs to be involved in community outreach on Monday nights.
I can't miss The Bachelor on Monday nights, too.
I already give back to the community. I pay taxes.
And don't miss our upcoming series on stewardship.
Also known as giving money to the church. I can't afford to tithe. Yes, I won the bid on eBay for that new iPad. My old one was almost a year old. It was embarrassing.
I can't believe how many people don't give anything. You know, I didn't have to put in that $5 last week, but I did. I could have gotten ventis instead of grandes all week, but, you know, I'm not the selfish type.
We need church members to sing in the choir. Practice is at 9:15 a.m. and 4 p.m. on Sundays.
And miss Sunday night football? The season's starting up in, 8 months.
Well, I'm more of a soloist than a group singer. And committing to going to practice an hour early every single week, there's no way.
There will also be a teen activity this Friday. The cost is $20.
Yes, because my teens need another reason to spend my hard-earned cash.
That youth pastor sure must be lonely. He needs to get some friends of his own age.
And folks, we need a lot of help making cookies to give out on Friend Day also.
Well, that's just too bad. I don't have any time to help. I've been told my cookies are unbelievable.
Yeah, I gave one of my friends one of her cookies once, and he said he could not believe anyone could mess up chocolate chip cookies like that.
And lastly, a lot of work needs to be done around here at the church, and we need everybody to come and pitch in for a work day.
Don't even think about it, mister. You need a work day around the house. Those weeds aren't going to pull themselves.
She should so come to that work day, so she can find out what real work is like. What does she do all day? Just play around with the kids? Those weeds aren't going to pull themselves.
I'm sure many of you have felt that way when you come to church and you hear about all these different activities and all these things that are going on. You're wondering, good night, what do I got to do? I don't have enough time to do all those things. I'm sure you felt that way. I felt that way when I've gone to conferences. I've gone to preacher conferences, you know, where they target preachers. And a guy will get up and I'll go for 3 or 4 days. And a guy will get up for the one message, and here's what he'll say. He said, you ought to pray 3 hours every day, you know. And he preaches about that and talk about how you should be praying all this time. And then the next guy will get up and say, man, you ought to be out door knocking 8 hours a day. And so, you know, and you feel like, man, you know, maybe I should be out doing more door knocking. And then you'll hear something like, you need to study your Bible more. That's the problem. Preachers aren't studying their Bible. And then you hear a guy and he just tell you about that. And so you're like, good night. And by the time the conference is over, you feel like I should only sleep 2 hours every night. And the rest of the time, do everything I'm supposed to be doing. You may feel that way as a church member. I mean, when you hear, you know, about all the different announcements, you hear about different things, and here's what I believe most people do. They've already predetermined what they're going to do. So what they do is they just shut it off. They just say, ah, that's not for me. Nope, not interested, don't care. Give all the announcements you want, that's not for me. And so we just kind of shut it down. In our series, Managing Our Lives, I think all of us understand that church is an important part of our life. That's why you chose to be here today. We know that church is important, and we know that going to church is important. We know that God teaches that in Scripture. And so here's our question. How much is enough? How much am I to do? What am I to do? Well, what we have done as a church, and I'm preaching on how to manage my church life today. What we've done as a church family is that as we meet and we go through things and all that, I think a lot of times people don't understand. So we as a staff last summer, actually all the way back to last summer, even though we've been discussing this for several years, we believed that we needed to simplify the church ministry, and on top of that, create a roadmap on how to grow as a Christian. The roadmap. Now, there's a roadmap of spiritual growth. And let me show you what the roadmap is. Glorifying God, growing together, giving back. It's on the front of the bulletin that you received when you came in today. It's everywhere you see when you walk around the campus now. Because this is the roadmap of spiritual growth. You know, roadmaps don't replace the place. It simply points you in the direction. Now, here's what a lot of people say. They'll say something like this to me. They'll say, well, you know what? I'm comfortable where I am. That means that you're lukewarm. Because you can't be comfortable where you are. No one should. Either that or we're going the opposite direction. So here's one thing we have to keep in mind. Spiritually, if you're stagnant, you're lukewarm. If you're happy where you are, something's wrong. And so what I want to do today is I want to preach on how to manage this church life that we live in. And someone might say to me, well, Pastor, you know, I want to know what you expect or what you would think or what you would want for us and what do you believe that is you know, acceptable or is enough or what are we supposed to do or how does this all work? Well, I want to help you to understand that. Now, here's something I've learned, that there are some people who have more time than others. And I understand that. And there's some people that have a greater commitment than others. And I understand that too. I know that some of you have to work. You know, gone are the days where you know, all businesses close down the evening and you only work from, you know, 7 or 8 in the morning until 4 or 5 in the afternoon and then you have the rest of the evening free. Gone are those days. Now we work all these weird hours and evenings and nights and all that. And I don't know how many of you work those weird hours. I really couldn't keep up with that kind of schedule. So I don't really know how that works, but I do know this, that church is an important part of our spiritual growth. Without church, we cannot grow and walk with God as we should. So I want to help you to get on the pathway. Now, let me tell you this from the start before we get into this. Let me explain something to you very carefully. Here's how it works. Going to church does not make you a Christian. Okay? You go to 10 churches, 20 churches, 30 churches. You go to church every Sunday. You go to church every day. You go to church every time the doors are open. Whatever, that does not make you a Christian. You are not a Christian because you become a member of a church, or because maybe you've been confirmed in a church, or because you've been baptized in a church, or something like that. That does not make you a Christian. The reason why that we have a church is that points us to what it is to be a believer. And let me explain what I mean by that. That is that we realize that we are sinners and we can't go to heaven because we are sinners. See, heaven wouldn't be heaven if sin was there. And so God says that as sinners, we can't go to heaven because we are sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, according to the Bible. But the Bible goes on to say this, that though we're sinners, that God so loved us that he was willing to come to this earth to die on the cross for our sins and to be buried and rise again the third day. And what God does is God looks down on all of us who receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and he takes all of the punishment that Jesus paid for, and he says, I'm going to apply it to the account. Therefore, they're not sinners. Now they are saved sinners. We are now believers in Christ, and now we're Christians, meaning that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And I'm going to tell you, that's the greatest life you could possibly live, is knowing Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you this today, if you do not know Christ, if you're not sure that when you die, you're going to heaven, if you don't have that 100% assurance, you can know that before you leave today. It is a blessing to know Christ as Savior. But that's the starting place. So the pathway then involves three parts. I'm going to give you a real simple outline. Glorifying God, growing together, giving back. In your notes, in the bulletin, that's the outline. Glorifying God, growing back, or growing together, giving back. And that's what God says. God shows us all throughout Scripture these principles, and I want you to see them with me very carefully. Now, verse 15, if I notice here in this passage, let's look at our very first way in which we understand. These are three simple steps to spiritual growth. The three simple steps to the pathway of spiritual maturity. Verse number 15, it says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ. So our first point is this, that we are to glorify God. And glorifying God means that in my life, everything that I do is I'm going to deflect any praise, any glory for myself, and I'm going to give that to Jesus Christ. That means that I'm exalt the radiance and majesty of Jesus Christ. I want everybody to know Christ. I want you to know Jesus Christ. I want the community to know Christ. I want those at work to know Christ. Every place I go, I want them to meet Jesus Christ as Savior. And when we come to church, we want to exalt Jesus Christ. Look, we make no apology. We want you to know Christ. And if you don't know Christ, we're praying that today will be the day in which you receive Jesus Christ. Because that's what it's about. So as we gather and we talk about glorifying God and in our morning service as a church, and whether it's Sunday night or Wednesday night, as we have connection groups on Wednesday night, we're all about glorifying God. That's what it's about. We're not trying to exalt the preacher. We're not trying to put him on the, you know, on the spiritual roadmap of you know, of some kind of a magazine or something like that where he could be exalted. We want to exalt Jesus Christ. It's not about me, it's about him. And it's not about you, it's about him. So how do we do that? How do I glorify God? When I come to church, how do I glorify God? You say, preacher, this is about my church life. How do I do that? Well, let me give you a few thoughts. Number one, we need to participate in worship. We need to participate in worship. Now, we are in worship service this morning, and we need to participate in it. Now, what I mean by participating is simply this, that we're engaged in worship. That means that for us, that our purpose is to glorify God,
And that when we come here this morning, we are to individually worship God. Our attention, our focus, our hearts are undivided in its devotion to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that for me, I'm not going to worry about my cell phone right now. I'm not going to worry about what's happening afterwards. My devotion is to Christ. I'm participating in this service. This service is for Him. It's not necessarily for me. It's for Him. I want Him to get the glory. I want Him to get it all. Now, you know, it's a strange thing to me. I have yet to figure this out. I've been to many, many events in my life. I've been to sporting events. You name it, I've been to a lot of those events. And the strangest thing is when I go to those events, everybody wants to sit down in the front. I mean, it just seems to be the case. I mean, you go to any event, that's the way it is, except church. Everyone wants to sit in the back. So I'm just going to chase you down in the back. But it makes me a little bit nervous because I wonder if the ones in the back can participate as well as the ones in the front. Because here's what I found out. Have you ever noticed the guys that sit in the front of sporting events? They're really participating. I mean, the other night, I was watching a basketball game, and do you realize the people that are on the front row had painted themselves the same color as their team? Now, there was no doubt in my mind, they were in the game. They were screaming, and they were yelling, and they were going crazy, and they were going ballistic, because for the first time ever in the history of the school, UC Davis was on ESPN nationwide. Never has that happened before. And they thought it was the coolest thing, and they were the ones painted up, and guess what? The camera couldn't keep its eyes off it. It kept going back to them. Every time UC Davis would score, they'd be, yay! And they were purple and orange and green and all the weird colors, you know. And they had all this stuff, and they were participating. Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying because you sit in the front you participate or because you sit in the back you don't. All I'm saying is this. We need to be engaged in worship. Amen. If you're going to glorify God, you need to be engaged. Now, that means that we're not checking our cell phone every you know minute or so to see if so-and-so has written me an email. Or checking my text during the message. Or maybe writing notes to somebody else. That means that I'm engaged in the service. I am with it. I mean, I want to know what's happening. I want to miss it. And what God is saying is we need to understand that participating in the service is a key component of church life. It's very, very important. In fact, for me, when I got saved, I learned the more that I grew in my walk with God, the closer I want to get to the front. In fact, I got so far to the front, now I'm in front of everybody. Amen. But you get the point. So to participate in worship, and here's the reason why, because I found out when I sit in the back, there's too many distractions for me. When I sit in the front, I mean, I guess somebody could come in and do something crazy in the back. I wouldn't even know it. And the point of the matter is this, please understand, those in the back, I'm not picking on you. I don't want you to think that. But here's what I am saying this. Whatever we do, when we come here, we ought to participate in worship. Amen? I mean, we need to be involved in that. And I understand that there are times when, you know, perhaps we are on call, or perhaps we, you know, we have to take care of our children. Sometimes we have to sit in the back so we can cut out if we have. I understand all that. But my point of the matter is, just don't miss out on the opportunity to be engaged in worship. Don't let this be a place where you just put your mind in idle and we kind of shut everything down and we forget about what God wants us to do. We're glorifying God. But then there's another component of this. We're to apply the truth. We're to apply the truth. Now, for me as your pastor, and I as the preacher of Calvary Baptist Church, my goal, my desire is to preach to you the Word of God. I'm not trying to preach, man's opinion or my opinion. There's some things that I'll be honest with you, if I were God, I'd do a lot different.
But God says, I don't care what you think, you preach my word. And as God's word is spoken, not only are we to listen to it, but we are to apply what it says. Now this morning I got up. Strange thing happened when I got up this morning. I got up. I went to the mirror, looked in the mirror, and I said, wow, you look good this morning. I don't think so. Looked in the mirror, and man, I look pretty rough. In fact, some people have sworn I've just been to a war, you know. Hair all over the place, what little bit I got. That's really bad when you don't have much, and then your hair's in all messed up with what you got left, right? Beard grew overnight. Eyes still half open. Man, I look rough. Now, I could have done two things. I could have done one of two things. I could have said, I don't care. I don't have to look at it. I'm going just like I am. Or number two, I could have said, you know what? I got some cleaning up to do. So I did. Aren't you glad? Amen. Like, glory to God. I actually brushed my teeth. You're welcome. Brushed my teeth, cleaned up, tried to comb my hair. Didn't take long. Did everything I needed to do, man. I'm ready to go. Now, here's what God says. We come to church. Sometimes we come in, it's like, wow. We're pretty rough. Pretty rough. Here's what God says. God's real clear in the scripture. Here's what he says. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgeth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Here's what God's saying. As God deals with my heart, you know what I need to do? I need to apply his truth. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, you know what God says? He wants you to be saved. He wants you to trust Christ as Savior. It's not simply that you, oh, I know I need to do that sometimes. He wants you to do it today. He wants you to know Christ today. He wants you to make sure that you're ready, because we don't know at what point in time our life is over. We're only one breath away from eternity. And God says that he wants us to be ready, because we know that one day any of us could die, and we don't know at what point. And the fact is, it's not the fact, are we going to die? It's when we're going to die, and are we ready when we go? God says he wants us to know that. In fact, do you realize, you're talking about bringing glory to God, man, that brings great glory to God when someone trusts Christ as Savior. In fact, it's so glorifying. The Bible says it like this in Luke chapter 15. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. God says, you know what? Heaven can rejoice. I mean, when one person comes and trusts Christ as Savior, when one person puts their faith and trust in Christ, heaven rejoices. All of heaven, I mean, there's glory, there's joy, there's rejoicing. I mean, they're high-fiving each other. Because someone has now trusted Christ. And look, today, if you want to bring glory to heaven, if you don't know Christ, I'm going to tell you, the moment that you put your faith and trust in Christ, don't think someone's going to be critical or ill of you. People are going to be rejoicing, and in heaven especially, they're going to be giving praise and honor and glory to the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you. The Bible said, what a blessing it is as we apply the truth of God's word. And not only that, but we apply the truth of God's word when God speaks to us as believers. Maybe there's something in our life that we need to take care of. Maybe there's something somewhere along the way that we need to kind of get cleaned up in our life. And you know, honestly, all I'm trying to do is preach the Word. You might say it this way, and I'm not trying to be irreverent or disrespectful to God, but I'm sort of the mailman. Don't shoot the mailman just because he brought you the bill. And don't shoot the preacher because he tells you the truth. I mean, the truth is we need Christ. The truth is we need to get things right with the Lord. And if there's something that's not right, we need to make it right so we can glorify God. Amen? And within a church, that's what it's about, is glorifying God within the church. But then thirdly, there's exercising our gifts. That's what this whole passage is about, is exercising gifts. It's all about gifts. We're to take what gifts God has given to us and use them in the ministry of the church. Simply put, I'm to use whatever God has given to me. Now, it's kind of funny. The other night we had Brother Shetler for our banquet. By the way, that banquet was great. Man, it was just really, really, it was just awesome. The food was good. Everything was good. The spirit was good. And man, I praise the Lord for it. And the other night, Brother Shetler was there, and he leaned over to me, and you guys didn't hear. Here's what he said to me. He goes, you know, I only have one gift. And I personally think he has a little bit more than that, but he's, I only got one gift. I said, really? What is it? And he said, I'm an encourager. And I said, yeah, you do that pretty good. I'll give you that. Because he is. He's a very encouraging man. But you know, it's good to know what gift you have. And not only that, but it's good to use the gift that you do have. Because here's what I believe. As you use the gift you have, you'll get better at the gift you have. Because God will grow your gift. And if you hold your gift back, it can't grow. God says that glorifies God when you use your gift. How are you doing with your gift? You say, well, I'm really not a member of the church. I'm really not. Well, why not? Why don't you join? What's holding you back? Why aren't you using your gift? Well, I don't like the green carpet and pews. So, I don't like it either. I don't like the fact the parking lot's not done. I don't like it either. But you know what? I don't come to church because of green carpet and an empty parking lot or a full parking lot. I come because I want to honor God and glorify God. It's about glorifying God. And so God says that the very first thing, and so as we created this pathway, as when I say created, we didn't really create, we discovered this pathway in the scripture that our entire life and our entire thought processes and everything we do, not only at church, but in everyday life, but primarily it better be a church that we glorify God, and that's really, really important. And if you are somewhere along the way not glorifying God, here, this is the first step to start to glorify God. But then secondly, there's another step, and that is we grow together. We grow together. Now, let me tell you something about a church, because I've had people say, well, you know, we really don't need churches. We really don't need that. We don't really need. Wait a minute. Hold on. Now let me dispel a few misunderstandings about it. We do need church. Because the entire last half of the Bible, the New Testament, is written about the church. All right, let me talk to you a little bit about the church. Here's what we need church. We need church for connection. To have people to interconnect with. We are interdependent, not independent. We need to be connected. Now, you believe this. I know you do. Because out here in the world, you understand that. Let me give an example. If you want to be a professional baseball player, what do you need? A team, right? How about, isn't that true? I mean, you know, you don't have any freelance baseball, but I'm a professional. Really? What team are you on? My team. Doesn't work like that, does it? See, you have to be connected. And some of you have hobbies. And something I found when I moved to California 27 years ago now,
When I moved here 27 years ago, whatever you want to get into, there's a group for it. I was into you have dogs, any dogs you want, German Shepherd, you know, you name it, they got groups for it. You want to go skydiving, they got skydiving groups. You want to go hot air ballooning, they got hot air balloons groups. I mean, they got groups for everything and whatever hobby it is, you know, because we like to be with people who are of like mind, like desires, same thoughts, same everything. We can share ideas together. We can interface with one another. We can understand. We learn things together. We grow together. It's fun together. Sounds like a church to me. Sounds like, and by the way, where did they get that idea from? God. That's what a church is. You can't have that without a church. A church is important. Growing together is what it's all about. I have certain things in my life that as I'm growing my children up, and my kids are now growing up and up and up, but as they grow up, I have things that I couldn't give them that other people could give them in the church. I mean, that's what it's about. We grow together. Where do we get the idea that, you know, somehow or another the church is really unimportant? It's just something, you know, it's just like kind of a waste of my time. And, you know, I go and, you know, it's like I sit there and, you know, the guy gets up and yells and screams and they throw this offering plate around. I'm supposed to put money in and I leave and I'm getting that. Somewhere we miss it. We grow together. We're learning together. And look, let me just tell you this. I'm growing. You say, well, you're not perfect, Pastor. You're right. Man, I'll be the first to tell you. Ask my wife. No, second thought, don't. We're growing together. Some of you, I mean, when I came 20 years ago, man, I was still an immature, and I hopefully over 20 years I've matured and grown, and so it is as a ministry, and so it is with you, and some of you, I've seen some of you grow dramatically in 20 years. Because we grow together. God's designed it that way in Scripture. Romans says it like this. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another. According to Jesus Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how does this work? Let me run through this quickly. Number one, we live the truth together. It's been called truthing. He probably never heard of that. But it's we speak the truth together. That means that we simplify our lives where we kind of have a passion together for Jesus. What brings us here is not the building, it's not the budget, it's not the status of the church, it's Christ. It's all about Him. It's the fact that we believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnated. That we believe that He's the virgin-born Son of God. That He's the only way that a man can go to heaven. There is no other way. We believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, rose again the third day. What brings us to Calvary Baptist Church is Jesus Christ, not Rick Stone Street. It is not a common drive or desire that we somewhere park on this corner in Fairfield. We could be anywhere in Fairfield. But what brings us together is Jesus. We live that truth. That's the truth that's unalterable. It can't change. Look, we can change the color of the building. We can change the design of the building. We can put in new lights. We can change the lights altogether. We can tear the building down. We can rebuild a new building. We can put a new pastor in. We can get new pews, or we can put chairs in here. It wouldn't matter. But what would matter is if we mess with Jesus and the message of Christ. Amen and amen. You see, that's what brings us together. You know, we're all so hung up. Well, he drives a Toyota. He drives a Ford. Who cares?
What really matters? I'll tell you what really matters. Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Are you going to heaven when you die? That's what matters. That's what it's all about. And as we live together, we're sharing these ideas, just like some of you. Some of you guys are motorcycle people. Man, you love motorcycles. And you like to hang out with people who like motorcycles. And when you get together, guess what you talk about? Motorcycles. You talk about being the Harley, and you saw this Harley over here in the window, and you want that Harley, you want this, you want that. Man, I got this bike, got this leather, got all this stuff. You like that, that's what it is. Hey, look. We come together because we're bonded around Christ. Now, look, I'm not trying to compare us to the world. Don't get me wrong, but I'm simply saying that's what really bonds us, what grows us together. We're living the truth together. This is the best support group you can find. These are the best friends you can find. These are the people that really will care about you. These are the people that genuinely want to help you. These are the people that care about your kids. These are the people that are going to make the difference in your life and in my life. That's what it's all about. Letter B, we're sharing our gifts together. I mentioned already my gift and Brother Shetler's gift, my gift of teaching and preaching. God's given us each a gift to honor and glorify God. And none of us, not one person, a few weeks ago we learned about that, not one person has all of the gifts. Not one person does. So that means I'm dependent on somebody else. I'm dependent on you, and some of you, you have the gift of music, and God can use you in that area, and I'm dependent on that. I can't do all of those things. And some of you have the gift of organization, some of you have the gift of administration, some have the gift of exhortation, whatever it is, that we use what we have to help others in the church. We're sharing our gifts together. But then there's the mutual encouraging one another. We're encouraging each other. Let me ask you a question. And I don't want you to raise your hand, but I just want to ask you a question. How many of you in here would have to be honest enough to say, you know what? It seems like every week I come to church, I just need encouragement. Are you fighting? Are you living in the same world I am? I mean, do you guys deal with the same thing I deal with? I mean, I get up in the morning and I, you know, as I'm getting ready, I turn on the TV and I watch the news and I'm like, I didn't want to go out. You feel that way? Anybody feel like I do? You know, I don't want to go out in this world. And then, you know, then I go out there and you hear all these things, and on your way out, you know, there's this, that, and the other, all the other things that happen. I'm telling you, it can be weighing on you. And you go day in and day out. I mean, by Wednesday night, I'm like, get me to church. I got to have somebody who believes and thinks and cares and loves God like I do. And then when that's all said and done, then come, man, by the end of the week, I'm like, I'm so tired. And you know what? Sunday comes, it's like a breath of fresh air. Thank God. I'm going to be people that really love God. And we need to encourage each other. I'm talking to some of you here that you could be a great encouragement, but you don't even know the person sitting next to you. Get to know them. Get to know their name. And can I tell you something? And I'm just being transparent with you, okay, as your pastor. And I'm not trying to be critical. And I'm not trying to upset you. But it irks a fire out of me for someone to come up to me and say, what's his name? I say, go over and ask him. Are you with me? You see what I'm saying? We missed it. How are we going to grow together if we don't even know the person's name? Come on. Help me out so we grow together. You see, the pathway of spiritual maturity, and we're talking about in our church life, and what we're trying to do as a church is we just want you to get as close to God as you possibly can, so at the end of your life, when you die and you go to heaven, You're going to say, man, I'm as close as I possibly get because I have walked down the pathway of what God says I'm to do. So I've tried to glorify God by using my gifts and my talents and all those things, and I want to be engaged in the service and follow what God wants me to do. I'm growing together with my church family. We're living together in the truth. We're a part of just each other's lives. We're trying to help one another, encourage each other. We're part of the community, yes, and all of that, but we understand that we're growing together. But there's one more step. Now, quite frankly, the first two seemed a little bit easier. It's the last one's the challenge. What is the last one? Can anyone tell me what is it? Giving back. That giving back is the challenge. Because can I be honest with you? I am selfish by nature. See, I don't mind if you give to me. As long as I get it. And honestly, most of us are selfish by nature. That's why going off like we did on Friday night to the banquet is a healthy thing for us as a church. Here's the reason why. Someone said, well, can't we take the money and take that ticket price and just put it in an offering and give it? Yeah, you can do that. Sure you can. But you lose out on what it's about. It is going apart in a place, focusing on somebody else other than ourselves, away from our environment, and say, you know what? We're going to concentrate on the way that we can give back to be a blessing. Giving back. And that's just a part of our spiritual growth. So let me help you to understand some things. Very quickly, number one, we're to give out the gospel. That's one thing we can give. Not just community outreach, but every time we go out. Man, passing out tracts and talking to people and giving tracts to people in the community and handing them, showing them, hey, you know, let me tell you about Christ, and let me give you that. It's so funny, you know, sometimes I'll go and I'll hand it out to somebody, and all three people say, can I have one of those two? Sure enough, man. Just anybody else? Because it's getting the gospel to them. That's giving back. Every time that someone teaches a class and they give the gospel, they're giving back. We're giving back. Don't just sit in a pew and not give anything back. Give back. Get the gospel. Number two, we give our finances. That tithe, you know, you say, well, God doesn't need the money. You're right, he's got it all anyway. But giving back, we ought to be tithing. We ought to give our missions and the banquet to start talking about the parking lot. And someone said, well, you know, you don't understand, man. I'm playing golf next week. I can't spend that $50 on that banquet. Play golf, but go to the banquet. Because it's about that. It's about giving back. It's giving back. You know, like the bus ministry. We have the bus ministry and what's going on with the bus, and we could talk more and more about that. But, you know, we're putting a bus in the community. We thank God for Artie. He came this morning, and his kids rode the bus. Thank God for that. Amen. Man, thank you, Artie, for coming. You and your dear wife. And it's what it's about. It's getting, you know, we're giving back. We're, you know, we're taking time and we're you know, financing the bus and giving back to the community and trying to help reach some new families and people and letting them know who Jesus is, the answer. Amen. So giving our finances, give as God leads. Missionary. Someone said, what's that trailer back there in the back? Is that yours, Pastor? No, it's not mine. I don't need something like that. That trailer's a missionary that's in another church in town here. They need a place to park. You know what? I think our church ought to let somebody park there if they need to. Overnight. Yeah, giving back. Jim Canese will be here next week. Jim Canese, our missionary. He was in Page, Hungary. Now he's in Budapest, Hungary. He's going to be with us next week. He's going to share. He's going to be passing through. He wants to give us an update. And we're going to take a love offering. I think we're going to give back to Jim. Good man, good man. He's got one of the premier churches in Europe. I won't say it in front of him and embarrass him, but I'm telling you, he's got a great, great ministry there in Europe. They're in Eastern Europe, Hungary. Oh, it's all about that. Giving our finances. Then thirdly is giving our help. We can give our help to anybody. Let's not forget, let's help. Someone said, well, I can't teach a class. Well, help teach a class. Do something. Bus kids, teens, needy. Maybe help in the nursery or ushering. Something we all could do is move over if someone comes in late. I mean, these are just ways. So what's the mission statement about? It's a spiritual roadmap. It's the roadmap of spiritual growth. And I'm going to say this, and we talked about this summer. We, as guys, we were praying over this, and because we love you, we spend time praying for you and caring for you as a church, and we said this. So what we're saying is this: if a person is glorifying God, growing together, giving back, are they doing what the Lord would have them to do? And we said, absolutely. If that's what you're doing what God wants you to do. And that's all you could do. And so this morning, here's what I ask you. Where are you in this spiritual roadmap? Maybe you haven't gotten on the journey yet. Maybe what you need is Christ right now. Maybe you need to trust Jesus Christ as Savior because you can be forgiven. Or perhaps maybe you're at that place where, you know, you've glorifying God, you're kind of involved, you're doing something, but you haven't grown together. You're not even in a class yet. You haven't found a class to be a part of yet. That's growing together. Or perhaps maybe, you know, you've already gone through those, but you're not coming on community outreach. You're not doing anything to give back. You haven't given anything when it comes to finances. Well, you're missing out. The pathway of spiritual growth, God says, is very clear. And as we walk down this pathway, we can manage our church life. No, I know people can't come over and work like we work. We're full-time called to do that. We can all glorify God, grow together, and give back. Heavenly Father,